Good afternoon again. Today's world is sometimes referred to as the me generation. We frequently find there's a lot of focus on the person, on individuals. Social media likes to complain that younger people, Generation X, Y, and Z, and I think we got a little bit of everybody here, thinks it's all about them. Oh, thank you. Excuse me one second. They call it Generation Me. All seeking more money, more status, more attention, and more position, better positions. There are songs and there are movies about it, and the me has become somewhat of an epidemic in our society today. There are concerns that the Generation Me expectations will be greatly disappointed when they meet reality in life. Yet in the church and in some institutions, we do teach ourselves and remind ourselves that it's not all about us and align ourselves to the truth. Today, we will address the role that you play in your salvation. But in this case, we will have to reverse the saying, it's not all about you, and add, or is it, all about you? It is. We will find it is all about you and what you do with your heart, and the honest sincerity of how you treat the gift of salvation. Generation Me is focused on themselves because they believe life is all about them, and they want life as they perceive it. They are willing to do whatever it takes to get in the spotlight with the best-looking lifestyle at all costs. I'm sure we can see in the news many instances of people striving for things and then breaking the rules to achieve them. We can also see that in our personal lives, as we integrate with people in the world and with many people throughout the week, that our culture of materialism and consumerism rewards those who care about such things. We can fall into a rut always trying to earn our happiness, which is measured by the materials we own and the status we achieve. Those with the most toys, when they die, wins. That's the statement that many people use. And unfortunately, our society kind of thinks of it that way. So let's start off with Romans 3:23. Could you please join me there? I'm trying to point out again that all have sinned in this world, that this kind of behavior doesn't lead for a real growth of your personality in a Christian way, where you're helping the Spirit to grow, or you're working with the Spirit to grow. In Romans 6, in verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I'm going to compare and contrast that throughout this entire sermon. Oh, that was Romans 6:23. I asked you to go to Romans 3:23 first, and that one is, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So those are the two scriptures that I'd like you to go to. I kind of jumped back and forth here by accident, sorry. In this process of looking at the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, Christ is our redemption. He paid the price for us. He delivered us. Turn to Colossians 1, please. And in Colossians 1, we learn a little bit more about his redemption. In Colossians 1, in verse 13 to 14, it says, "He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." The question I would ask is, do you want life? If you want life, the door is closed to those who are seeking life through worldly ways, as we discussed Generation Me, but we have been given an opportunity to go through the door of life in a different way. And as John 10:9 it says in John 10:9 that I am the door, Jesus Christ is speaking. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, that's Jesus Christ, he will be saved and will go in and go out and find pasture. The me there is Jesus Christ. So we got to be careful which me we're following. Salvation and the Holy Spirit are a gift, not something that can be earned. In Acts 2:38, Peter said to everybody, in Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise of salvation comes and requires us to commit our hearts to obeying the Ten Commandments and overcoming the pulls of this world. That is, overcoming the pulls of Generation Me too as well. We cannot earn salvation, but we must grow in faith and love and let the Holy Spirit rule in us. It's separate from letting the world rule us, and I'll point that out some more as we go. The gift of the Holy Spirit is given at baptism, where all our sins are washed away and we receive the promise of salvation. It's a promise. It doesn't mean that we're saved at that moment for all of life, no matter what else we do in our lives. We can lose the promise. And then in Ephesians 2:8-9, you can just write that down if you'd like. For by grace you've been saved through faith, in that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We don't work to earn this. This is a gift given by God that we can be saved through salvation, through Jesus Christ. Here's where it's all about you. We can lose it if we fail to qualify. Simple stumbles and misses after you've been baptized, you can be repent and be forgiven of. If you repentance is a very sincere and a strong and honest repentance, forgiveness can be had as long as we don't sin again. But ignoring the responsibility and the commitment to God the Father through Jesus Christ can cause us to lose salvation if we ignore it, if we're not paying attention to what the Bible is telling us, what God's Word tells us to do once we've received the gift of the Holy Spirit or the gift of salvation. And 1 John 2 talks a little bit about this, and I'd like to start off there. 1 John 2, verses 1 through 6. In my Bible, it's called the test of knowing Christ. 1 John 2, verses 1 through 6. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anybody sins, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Now by this we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him, in verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walks. We have to walk like Jesus Christ. We have to be keeping his word, be living his way in every situation, no matter what is going on in the world around us. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit is helping us. So we have a pure cleansing going on. When the Holy Spirit is helping us to see areas in our lives that need to be improved, Colossians 1:22, my Bible just happened to just turn right to there, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. After your baptism, you are purely cleansed as you come out of the water. The old dead person is left in the water, and you are now acceptable in the sight of God the Father, because the Holy Spirit, His Son, Jesus Christ, has put in you with the laying on of hands. And you're purely cleansed and you're acceptable to Him at that very, very moment. And from that point on, though, you've got a challenge. You have to continue to live in that and let the Spirit dwell in you, which Romans 8:9 says. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. So I just covered a lot of information in a short period of time, but letting the Spirit of God really pull us forward, listening to what it says to us, reading the Bible, doing your prayers and fasting at times, trying to live a Christian life, and I'll go into some detail on how we can do that. We really are trying to let our lives be led by Jesus Christ and try to be an example to other people, no matter how bad the situation is. And it's a very difficult thing to do. So let's go into a little bit of detail of some of the difficulties here. And the origination of the difficulty came from the decision made in that Garden of Eden, by Adam and Eve. Actually started off by Eve. And we'll go and review that. The temptation and fall of man is what it's called in my Bible, in Genesis verse 3, chapter 3, I'm sorry. Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to start off at verse 1. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase this thing through as we go through this to try to show what Eve was thinking and then try to show the metaphor there of how we can get pulled into this as well. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Sounded pretty strong there, right? You might die. And then in verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Interesting. He really just put it all together there in like one or two sentences, what was going to happen. And then in verse 6, and this is the fateful part, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise," those three things, "she took its fruit and she ate." So in a very simple vernacular of today's world, Eve tuned into the me channel. She's now thinking about me, isn't she? She's now tuned to the me channel, and she saw that the tree was good, that many things are bad in this world, but we do see them and they're being sold to us as being good. And she did not listen to God, but she listened to herself. She said, "It's all about me. And it was not only good for me," she said to herself, "but pleasant to the eyes and very appealing." And how appealing is lifestyle choices today? You can't go into a grocery store aisle without seeing it all being shown to you. And you know that behind the scenes is a lot of bad things happening, but it looks really good on those magazines, doesn't it? On TV, it looks really good when you look at all these rich mansions and these perfectly manicured lawns. Lifestyle choices today appeal to many, many people. And it says to you that you can have something forbidden and see it as good, but it's exciting and it makes you feel good too. So from Eve's perspective, it looked really good. And she knew it was wrong, but she took the dive. How many things in this world look pleasant on the outside, but inside they're full of pain and suffering and rot? Look at the entertainment industry. With this exploitation of women, its poor moral choices, look at their family role model, Bill Cosby. Life hides these issues for a time. We only see the tip of the iceberg. We have to be very, very careful of what role models we allow to affect us and influence our lives and who we choose to think are doing the best and we should be trying to be like them. But in Eve's mind, it looks so appealing, and it can make me feel that appealing too if I'm part of it. And it increases my knowledge. Eve said to herself, I get enlightened. Wow. My me gets better all because of one simple act. Eat from the tree of good and evil. So Eve turned to the me channel and was receiving high definition signals all about her and made her choice. How fast her mind focused on the high definition me channel because it looked so good and turned away from God. It tuned God out. There was no God there. She and Adam walked and talked with God face to face. Think about that. Isn't that very, very special? The me channel changed all of that. Can you imagine allowing yourself to reject God like that? How many people have been deceived like Eve and gave up their crowns? It is no wonder, because Satan developed the me channel when he was in heaven around God's throne. He was found with iniquity, and he was cast out of heaven. And here's why. Ezekiel 28, please. And we're going to find it's very similar. It's the same ideas that he was selling to Eve. He himself convinced himself that he had. Ezekiel 28, please. You see, Satan has a very aggressive, negative plan for all of mankind. Ezekiel 28 and verse 17. And here we're talking about Satan's thinking, the time being referred to as the King of Tyre. Ezekiel 28:17 says, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. Does that sound like it's all about him? All about me? It's all about him. Satan is the me channel broadcaster. He wants all of God's children to be just like him. He continually broadcasts his solutions to us, and we have to be careful not to listen to them. I would say it's time to cancel our subscription to the me channel. We should cancel it, change channels, and go do something else. How about turning to the Jesus Christ way, the Jesus Christ channel, the way and author or finisher of God's creation? We can trust that channel, can't we? In James 1 and verse 12, talks about the challenges we have to go through here in this world. Every day we're being challenged in every way from every angle. In James 1 and verse 12 it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love them. We have to make sure we don't get caught up in the process that doesn't allow us to get approved and receive the crown of life. So, what is feeding your mind? What's feeding your heart? What's feeding your desires? Is it the me channel or is it the spiritual vine? Where is your attention focused? So now I'm going to show us where our attention should be focused. Here is the true high definition channel we should be looking at. Please turn to John 15, please. Always have to remember that the answer is in the scriptures for life's issues and for the true path that we should be following. John 15, verses 5 through 7. Here Jesus is saying that he is the true vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And without me, you can do nothing. This is the real me channel. This is the real place we should be focusing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and they throw them in the fire and they are burned. Those are all the people who are focused on the world. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done to you, done for you. We are to overcome the world by listening to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and acting on it, living a purer life in His sight. This way, we begin to produce fruit, fruit of the Spirit in our lives, allowing Jesus Christ to mold us in His image and shape us. This is what Jesus and God the Father are looking for. We can't neglect our salvation. We have to constantly be working towards keeping our focus on Jesus Christ and His channel, not the me channel. Please turn to Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We can't neglect salvation. Therefore, we must give the most earnest heed to things that we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and has been confirmed by us who have heard Him? We need to start building fruits in our lives by paying attention to Jesus Christ and the vine and author and finisher of God's creation. It's like investing in a bank. If we build fruits that are of His Spirit and invested in the bank, then the parable of talents is a good metaphor. And I'll quickly read through it, but if you want to read the parable of the talents, it would be in Matthew 25, verses 29, and the previous verses there. I'm going to read to you the end of it, though, verse 29. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. It's like collecting interest. Once you go out and you start doing works that are approved and are fruits of the Spirit given to you through Jesus Christ, you begin to build up your bank of works. And so he does not have, even he, okay, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even that what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we have to remember that we have to do something to continue to pay attention to the salvation that's been given to us, to continue to live the life that Jesus Christ would want us to live, to be more like Him in everything we do, and to show it through trusting in Him and committing our lives to Him. And we have to be keeping His commandments. We know that the path is a narrow path and that few people navigate it. We know it is difficult, but the reward is great. So if you want to read about the narrow path, that's Matthew 7, verses 13 through 19. Enter by the narrow gate. The wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it, because the narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. So we have to run a race and produce fruits. And that's Hebrews 12, 11. And if you could just turn, I'm still in Hebrews, turn to Hebrews 12 and verse 1. I'm sorry, Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says here, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. We have to build works of faith. And I think the last scripture I have to give you is James 2, verses 18 through 21, where it talks about building works of faith. And that's what we've been talking about. We'll go into some more detail and shortly. James 2, verses 18 through 21. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble, but you do not. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? We have to have works to back up our faith. We have to trust God and use the Holy Spirit and the blessings that God has given us to step out and use faith in what way we live our lives and the decisions we make. Was not Abraham, verse 21, our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? We must be willing to put to death the things that we see and love on the Me channel. Because that's what you have to do. You have to go through. Jesus Christ gave his son for our salvation. Abraham was willing to give his son for who he loved, just like Jesus. I mean, just like God the Father. And obey God. And in both cases, they were giving up something they were really loved. We love the Me channel. And ourselves, we don't want to. But it's hard to live in this world without loving it. We have to give up and put to death the Me channel. Cancel our subscription, disconnect the cable, turn it off. We have to separate from it and build works of faith. So how do we do that? Eve was pulled in so directly to the Me channel. The HD visibility was extreme, and she made the wrong choice. Our challenges are that we have to overcome the Me channel, cancel our subscription to it, have a stronger use of the Holy Spirit to help us. So let's spend a little time adjusting our tuners so that we can see the Salvation channel, the one that broadcasts on the Jesus Christ frequency. So let's turn to it. So when you're making choices in your life, and your choices need to be based on Christian principles and supporting and obeying God's commandments. First, you want to grow faith. We use our opportunities to grow faith by trusting God to take care of our lives. We don't want to micromanage and manipulate every single detail of our lives, trying to tell God the Father and Jesus Christ that we know how to run our lives better than he does. We have to look for where he's working in our lives and find some way to take steps to take a little bit of risk sometimes, maybe overcome our fear so that we can trust God to take care of problems. And when you do that, you find that all of a sudden, he comes up with better solutions than you ever could. It's in our lives. Many of us have done this already and found that Jesus does these wonderful blessings that you never anticipated could happen, and he takes care of them. We see it all the time. We have to look for this and find happiness building faith and seeing God's loving hand in our lives, because he's working in our lives. You've got to find him. Every single person, every single thing in your life throughout the day, God's working with you. Second, you have to be happy with what God has given you. Be happy with the things that we have. He's given us what he wants to give us now, and he wants to grow us in a Christian way. He's defined our lives. Everything about us and where we are now is exactly where he wants us to be, so he could grow us. So let's find out what he's trying to grow us, how he's trying to grow us. Let's pray and let's study the Bible and let God lead us. Find joy in answered prayer. Pay attention to the many answered prayers and the many blessings that you receive and find joy in it. There are a lot of answered prayers. We had answered prayer this week. Some big answered prayers. It was a very exciting week for all of us. We need to praise daily too. It's important that we recognize his great power and his perfection and how it works in our life at every point, even our relationships that we have to deal with in our family. Some of our relationships, I know mine and my family, has been healed tremendously in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. It's been huge healing in my family. There's been healing in other people's families within the congregation too. And those things come from God. Everything good comes from God. Praising him and thanking him from what you have, even the simple things in life, that makes you really strong and makes life much more enjoyable. Give God the credit. God is the provider of all good things, even to have the ability of other people to even listen to your ideas, to support your efforts, even harmony. All those things come from God, and give Him the credit for what you see, because He's there helping you. Follow the Holy Spirit. Every day you have a choice of things you can do, actions you can take, and ways that you can behave. Some of these are ones that the Holy Spirit would like you to do. When you do them, you'll find great joy in doing the things that the Holy Spirit and God the Father is leading you in your daily walk. And peace results as a part of that. Doing the worldly things and listening to the Me channel does not provide that kind of happiness. Find ways to praise God and to find thanksgiving in every minute of your day, because God has given you this opportunity to be alive now and has given you the opportunity to be an example of the living way for other people to see. Think about it. Your salvation is at stake. And it really is all about you.